You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hey, hey, welcome to the MSP Zone, where we talk about all manner of issues and topics related to the professional managed services community worldwide. We don't care where you practice. As long as you're an MSP, you have a home at the MSP Zone. We have a fantastic program for you today and a special guest who's going to be talking to us about a topic that is incredibly important. And yet, for some reason, we just don't talk about it a lot. We don't talk about it enough. And I'm talking about automation. And it's something that has been... it's existed in the channel for a long time, and today's guest is going to talk about the company he works for, the work that they have been doing and are doing related to automation and all the things that can go along with that, both internal and external to the MSP. So I'm just going to go ahead and introduce him right now, our guest, Keith Abramson from Electronique. Keith, welcome to MSP Zone.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me, Charles. It's great to be here.
I love the name Electronique. It's slick. I like it. It's got a bit of retro too to it, right? Electro.
It's got a pretty cool backstory to it too. So we have overseas origins, and there's a movie overseas that, of course, never made it here in the States. But it's almost this type of Terminator movie about a robot coming to life. And there you go. That's what automation effectively is robots coming to life.
All companies need to have a themed movie supporting them. I think that's a really great idea. All right. So for those in the audience, and dare I say, in the global MSP channel, who may not be familiar with Electronique, maybe you could just give us a high-level overview of your origins as a company and what you guys are doing today, and start from there.
Sure. So we've got an interesting origin story in that our founder and CEO actually came from the channel. He ran an MSP. And one of his key points of frustration, he saw this rise of automation happening, and he was actively participating, and he was an early adopter of some of these partnership programs of some of the household names in robotic process automation. He grew really, really frustrated, and there was this massive cognitive dissonance in that the partner programs for automation were very, very centric on the OEM, and they really didn't foster channel growth. And he was incredibly prescient. And even though when he was in this market 4 or 5 years ago, it was largely dominated by enterprise class end users, he saw that this was going to eventually trickle down to the global SMB and mid-market. And the existing programs within these larger providers of RPA tools simply didn't care about or cater to either the channel or the smaller end user. So his frustrations led him to say, I can do this better. And I'm going to build a platform, A, that fosters the channel, because the channel is the only way for viability that the SMB and mid-market are going to be able to truly harness the power of automation. And he went out and, like all good entrepreneurs, said, I see a gap. I'm going to go do it myself. So he partnered up with a couple of his friends and colleagues that were also in the automation space. One of our other co-founders was a former Ernst & Young executive that dealt with huge enterprise class RPA deployments in Fortune 100 type clients. So we have some deep RPA chops in the company, as well as some deep MSP knowledge and experience there.
So if you asked, thank you very much. I love companies that start with how do we solve a problem, because invariably those are going to do really well, because if you just start off with, just I want to do something, and there's no solution to an existing problem, what have you. if you ask the majority of MSPs about automation, they would probably say, yeah, we understand it. They would probably say and associate automation with like scripting, you know, like writing scripts that do process automation related to certain tasks. The use of RPA or robotic process automation, maybe just my mind, you know, brings up like robots, you know, like, you know, sitting in a chair doing things. Could you maybe give us some context about what's your definition of RPA and how does that, what does that really look like?
Sure. So that's not helped by every firm's marketing, and we're entirely at fault there too. It's the easy paradigm. It's easy to understand the image of a robot. It has a lot of societal context on it. Of course, these aren't really robots per se. There's very little in the way of initiative there. And AI is coming online, not to make another Skynet reference. It's getting there. But as of right now, RPA is programmed tasks. So RPA is just effectively another type of IDE for an MSP. It's just, this is one that has pre-built hooks. In some cases, these are low-code or no-code elements, but really what these do is this enables a developer to build automations around any GUI element manipulation that's usually done by a human. So this is simply creating an automated workflow of keyboard entry and mouse clicks at its simplest definition.
Okay, so we're not talking about physical robots. We're talking about, you know, process and AI, presumably, or, you know, supporting that, which I think, look, most MSPs and non-MSPs recognize the need for this. I mean, technical talent is really, you know, it's precious. MSPs know this. They've known it for many, many years. I think automation has a huge role to play in helping bolster the, you know, I call them force multipliers for MSPs. They need anything that they can get their hands on that will amplify the work that they do for all of their customers is going to be really welcome. I know we're not going to rest on this topic, but we have to bridge the topic. In your experience, what's your view or the interaction with MSPs that you may be working with on how RPA is being used internally for those MSPs?
Sure. So there are quite a few, and we're big advocates for it. Not to get too much into the mechanism of Electronique, but part and parcel of our philosophy of this is that it's incredibly beneficial technology. You should use it internally. So I can say unequivocally, the large majority of our partners are all leveraging RPA to automate an infinite amount of their own tasks. There really isn't any ring fencing around it, but I can certainly cite a couple of broad categories that'll probably start the wheels spinning in that. Well, first, obvious, I think it probably is obvious, but it would serve to restate. I mean, why would an MSP use this internally? Number one, it's going to raise efficiency, and that's always a good thing, because you can save significant costs and time here that can be put towards earning dollars and earning new clients. And that is basically a no-brainer. So,
like ticket handling is
of course, of yeah. course. There's a couple. I'll cite a couple here for you that will make sense. But there's a subjective factor too that I think is equally important, which is that MSPs that leverage automation, they simply look more sophisticated and savvy to their customers. What does the customer want to see? Do they want to see that there's a level one person handling all this stuff? Or is the MSP able to automate these processes and therefore is going to automate the same things for me and give me this streamlined appearance? Or am I relying on people running on the wheel? And it really does make a big difference to end user perception. And I think that's one that I'm hearing and I'm seeing out on the market. So just as a few examples that I've now promised five times. So infrastructure managing and monitoring and managing is a pretty good one. I mean, you can detect problems, issue alerts in a totally autonomous and automated manner. That's a big one. And that, of course, is a big part and parcel of many MSPs. Next, you can automate application deployment. And there's many, many commercial packages that are out there. You can buy one that's pre-built, or you can build one from scratch yourself to automatically deploy. And one that's near and dear to me, I spent some time in the space, is network management. You can set up hardware, you can do load balancing, you can do firewall rule changes, you can even actively monitor applications to make sure that firewall rules are correctly granting the proper permissions. And this is all extremely powerful stuff that's massively time-saving, not to mention massively time-saving in diagnosing the problem itself, let alone solving for it.
Yeah, and I mean, all those things are great examples, and they don't take away from the value that the MSP provides. There's no value in an MSP doing any of those things manually. I think the value is in the analysis that of the human in looking at the results of that automation process and saying, oh, now I can make a faster, more well-informed opinion and decision.
Right. Value of the MSP is in service delivery and SLA adherence. And that's even more efficient when you have a robot that can, in many cases, eliminate human error entirely. It's more valuable. It doesn't matter that it's a robot doing it.
I mean, I would imagine there's some sales and marketing value adds that could be at play here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can even cite one later on for you.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you might. All right. So look, my personal opinion is MSPs should be doing automation right now. This is not like in 5 years, it should be done. Every MSP ought to have as much automation as possible. And in my opinion, it ought to be something that is continually, the goal is to get more and more automated, which is not to say more and more impersonal, right? I don't associate that. And Keith, is that the topic that you get with, hey, I don't want to lose the human element? That we're not talking about that.
It's an interesting one. And I think popular societal perception of robots doesn't help there. So there's some preconceived notions about RPA that it's simply a way to excise humans from the workforce. Couldn't be more untrue. Maybe it had a little element of truth to it way back in the early days of RPA, when you had a Fortune 50 type company look at just numbers on a balance sheet and say, okay, if we have 10,000 people or one robot process, we can save seven figures a year. But those days are long gone. That's not what RPA is leveraged for by and large nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, separate, you know, we're getting off topic to macro economic concepts of, you know, the switchboard operators, you know, losing their positions because automation and technology really, you know, made it irrelevant for a human to physically plug a cable in, but they went on to do more valuable things, as the argument goes. And I think that if any of you have that, you know, argument running around in your head, that, you know, don't, because I think that all of this stuff means humans doing more and more important things in your MSP practice.
But exactly.
Keith, I want to turn our attention to something that we don't get to talk about a lot, which is shifting the focus away from the internal operations of the MSP, meaning the MSP is doing something on an automated basis more and more. There's an element of this that could be actually revenue generating, which I thought is very interesting and something that you guys are very passionate about. How to turn RPA, not just internally, but external to the customer as a potential service offering. Explain that.
Sure. It is our entire reason for being. So it's one that I'm very, very happy to speak on. In that it would help to give a little bit of context on the RPA market at large. So it has not yet crossed the chasm. We are still on the very earliest days of this gold rush, but like Thanos, it's all but inevitable here. It's going to happen. And this is from sources going from many of the Fortune 50 are calling this themselves all the way up to Gartner. And Gartner has looked at and said, okay, this market is going to be worth multiple billions of dollars. I believe their latest stat was somewhere about $22 billion over the course of the next 5 to 7 years. The really interesting part of that is that collectively as a tech industry, we have a unique opportunity that doesn't come around all that often, which is we know what direction this is going to go. All too often, we're chasing the dragon and we're finding the path to be already pre-trodden and we're picking up scraps along the way. It's not built yet. So the incredible opportunity here for MSPs is that 90% of this forecasted revenue is not yet realized. It's dry powder. And much of this is going to come from the SMB and mid-market. That's where automation dollars are going to be spent. And for many factors, these types of end users almost definitively can't do this themselves. RPA is still technology for coders. This is not end user tech yet. No matter if there are no code or low code elements, developers, human developers, have to sit there and solve problems and code out the solution for them. So sure, there are robots involved, but the humans have to build the robots. So there's all this spend out there that's going to happen. And one of the most common questions we hear is, okay, how do we even get started in this? What is this? What does it entail? Well, there's a really nice part for the MSP in that virtually all RPA use cases involve other software that an MSP has expertise in already, whether this is CRM or ERP. This becomes then both a new revenue stream, and you can acquire new clients simply by marketing your automations, but potentially even more importantly is you can deepen your footprint with your existing clients by giving them bolt-ons that make their life better and increase the value that you as an MSP are providing to them. It's win-win-win-win-win here. And I think that's why there's such a massive entree of MSPs into this automation space. There's lots of dollars to be had. There's lots of value to be garnered for new clients and your existing clients.
All right. I've got like a slew of questions just based off of that last statement. So I'm going to get to them all. First, is it your opinion that this is RPA has been at the enterprise level and is now filtering down to mid-market and SMB?
Correct.
Okay. So we're seeing that right now, in your opinion.
Correct. Okay. Yep. It's happening.
Okay. I liked your examples of the CRM and ERP because let's take ERP. There are a lot of MSPs. I know a lot of MSPs who focus or have a specialty in managing ERP applications for customers, right? They host it, they manage it, they manage all the associated infrastructure around it in some cases. So this is a business model that currently exists. I'm going to ask you again for some specifics if you got them. I'm an MSP. I have a practice in ERP applications. How do I leverage RPA to generate new revenue?
So I think the use cases are effectively unlimited, and that's not a hedge by any means. It's just I don't want to delimit thought processes here to be even as simple as some of the examples sure. I'll provide. Anything that can be done with that keyboard and mouse that this MSP is relying on an internal human to do or relying on someone from their customer to do can be automated with a robot. So I'll give two examples of ERP use cases. So one is one of our partners built a robot to fully automate sales quote creation in Sage. And so what happened traditionally is an ultimate end user would go and request a quote. And this quote would generate a request for a quote. It would go to someone's email inbox. The salesperson would have to, first they'd have to see that email. They'd have to download the request. They'd have to go and manually into their quote system, create the request, log the updates in their CRM, then physically send it out to the customer. It's laborious and error-prone in six different ways there. So what our MSP partner did here is this robot logs into the user's email inbox. It searches for this subject line. So effectively, in real time, it's monitoring if any of these requests come in. Can download any of the attachments, download any of the contact information, digest and understand, not even in an AI capacity. It's just going to do rule-based analysis of documents and text here. It's going to capture all this information, log into Sage, create the new quotation, add the items to the quotation that came from this email request, save the quote as a PDF, automatically send it to an email response, log any notations into the CRM, and this is going to happen in virtually milliseconds. It's done. And this robot just happens to, and sits out there as a running process on a user's desktop. Anytime that user is logged in and would be physically monitoring manually themselves for a quote request, it's just done. And they can actually focus on the selling thereof rather than the admin part of it.
So I was just going to say, it's like having a robotic admin. So the salesperson is not made irrelevant. The salesperson is, and we're talking about the MSP's customer salesperson, right?
So correct. Exactly.
You, the MSP, equipped and sold and are selling and presumably monitoring and managing all the infrastructure related to this RPA process or ecosystem, and your customer's salesperson is now benefiting from this robotic process automation, and their life is now improved, and you've turned what used to be a cost center into a profit center for that MSP customer.
Exactly. And it's an interesting, I'll tend to err on the side of philosophical. I think it's part of my role. But this goes into an interesting area and an interesting use case around what we hear from a lot of MSPs, which is, how do we market and sell this? Because there is a lot of resistance in the SMB and mid-market to automation, especially in the SMB, because the ultimate employees of the company are more scared of process automation taking away jobs than they are benefiting them. So this is a really great example of the type of process whereby the ultimate end user company can audit their users. There are manifold processes that are extant out there that are fully manual like this. Ask the end user about what process they hate and create a robot that gets rid of the process that they despise, and you will instantaneously have massive evangelism for automation out there in the field.
I mean, I was just having a conversation about this the other day about highly manual processes and their direct correlation to negative customer service experiences. And you nailed it right there, Keith, with if you can automate something that an employee doesn't like, and there's probably error associated with it, not just because they don't like it, but because it's manual. Manual things tend to produce errors accidentally. But you're going to have multiple downstream benefits that are so amazing. I want to get to ease or difficulty of developing this. Like if I'm an SMB focused managed service provider, what do I need to start thinking about and doing these things?
Yeah, great question. So there's a burgeoning field of automation-focused developers. It's coming online. So they are there in that you have technologies like Selenium or Python that are very automation-focused. You don't have to put a potentially pricey or automation solely designated employee on it. It doesn't hurt, but you don't have to. If someone knows JavaScript and Python, they can learn automation. They have the fundamental building blocks. It's there. For Electronique, for example, JavaScript is the bare minimum. So we do have quite a few of our partners that, of course, they're deploying more senior developers for the bigger projects. But for some of the basic tasks, if you have a developer that's proficient at JavaScript, and of course, there are many nowadays, they can learn automation in an environment that gives them some low-code, no-code tools to aid in that learning process.
Well, that was my next question. Is I know a lot of MSPs that do have internal coding talent, right? I mean, it's not unheard of. But if I was an MSP and I said, well, you know, I don't really have a lot of technical coding, you know, talent available. Are there ready to go off the shelf kind of modules or things that I could use to get into RPA without having that internal talent, or is that really necessary, I guess, is my question.
So my probably slightly contentious answer would be yes, but there are degrees of adoption. So the absolute first world problem here is if an MSP can sell a project but can't develop it, that is a fairly easy one to solve for. Most MSPs find themselves the other way around. They can build it, but they have to actively hunt and fight to get the client that wants it. So let's talk about the first case.
Yeah.
The first case is, let's say I've sold a project. My client is bought in, I'm bought in, but I don't know how to build. There are many developers offshore that will hop on projects, even on a project by project basis. There's a fairly robust network of every RPA ecosystem, including Electroniques, of partners that will do just this. They'll hire themselves out to do the dev work for someone else's sold project. So you can easily sub out a project. There's a pretty thriving ecosystem for that in Electronique itself. And I know it exists for the other technologies out there as well. And then you can easily start to look at bringing on someone part-time and then bringing on someone full-time and then starting to tier it out and get yourself a more senior developer in-house.
Yeah. I am not a programming expert. The last programming language I studied was BASIC in high school. So I'm dating myself. It doesn't sound like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the MSP in this hypothetical is having to create an application from whole cloth. We're talking about bridging, let's say, an ERP system belonging to the customer that the MSP is leveraging, and they're writing scripts. I don't want to dumb it down by saying they're writing scripts.
It is effectively a script. It is. So if you understand Python scripting concepts, and I'm by no means a dev either. So automation concepts are relatively universal. What an IDE like ours does, for example, is it just gives you some pre-built hooks in that you don't have to worry about from whole cloth finding out how to move the mouse in a Windows OS. All that's taken care of. You're defining where the mouse goes, not how to figure out how to get to the hardware level to create a mouse movement. That's already done for you.
Got it. Okay. So that sounds much more reasonable and something that, again, a lot of MSPs already do because they're already writing scripts, a lot of them, or buying scripts off, you know, from the partner community to do things related to automation in their own ecosystem of applications like RMM, ticketing, backup, CRM. So I think they already have those basic skills.
Exactly. We have multiple partners that come from a straight break-fix background, and they've seen this market opportunity, and they also see the direct correlation to the existing work that they're doing in their existing clients where they can bolt on. And sure, it's new and a little bit scary to go from break-fix to custom script development, but the path is there and they see the bridge. And most importantly, they have access to the clients that are going to benefit most from this.
Right, right. So, I mean, that's interesting that break-fix companies are, I mean, because arguably they're the ones that need this the most, because that's almost like ripping off the training wheels and getting right on the bike heading right towards managed services. So getting into the game, getting into RPA, it doesn't sound like it's that much of a barrier. It's really about, you brought this up, it's easier to develop. It may be more difficult to actually sell it and to articulate that. Is that what you're seeing?
That's the guidance we're giving our MSPs. And in response to some of that trepidation internally, we've actually put a good amount of effort and thought process on our side on supporting the partner network that way, because we have seen that gap. Sales and marketing is not necessarily the number one skill set. To overgeneralize, of course, and someone out there is going to be dramatically insulted by that statement. So to you, I apologize. But by and large, many MSPs haven't focused on bringing in top caliber sales talent. They've built top caliber technical talent and they can execute on the projects, but they're sold from a technical basis without a dedicated salesperson that has sales acumen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a lot of MSPs would as well.
Many.
Yeah, many, many. So, but it really comes down to the MSP. This is not a mandatory. Your approach is you can use this as an MSP internally all day long. But what I'm hearing from you, Keith, is that why stop there and why not turn a cost center into something that can generate revenue for your customers, and they will, I have to think that it's going to turn the relationship completely around in a good way. It's going to make what used to be a pain point into something that's generating revenue.
Absolutely. And it's across the spectrum. So what has already happened is the rise of the automation dedicated MSP. So many MSPs that we interact with simply do nothing else. All they do is automation. And many of them don't even do automation. All they do is RPA. That is it. And that degree of specialization, to me, is one of the first harbingers of a massive market here. There is massive potential in this market.
Yeah. And for those of you out there taking notes, you MSPs, I mean, I would start with the vertical markets that you currently serve. And there has got to be, I mean, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, there's got to be plenty of examples in banking, financial services, accounting, yep. Legal, healthcare, insurance, shipping, logistics. I mean,
you name it. It's infinite. Yes.
Yeah, it is infinite.
Catalog the industries.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the beautiful thing about this is because there's MSPs that do services for all of those industries across the world. And so this almost has a universal application to them.
It does. It does. And it's a really interesting ecosystem that's only going broader. So we're at the very first stages of this rise of automation to ubiquity, but the ecosystem is already developing, and now there are specialized vendors for each aspect of it. So you have the AI vendors, you have the OCR vendors, you have the process discovery vendors that actually build software that can look on an end user's systems to determine what you should build an automation for. So this is very much becoming this open ecosystem around automation, and it can become a massive revenue stream or potentially even a dedicated revenue stream for an MSP.
I mean, you just have to look at the labor market challenges that we're facing,
exactly.
Not the least of which is in technical talent and specialized technical talent, and that this is kind of a no-brainer. All right, we've talked a lot about this. Inevitably, these MSPs are out there saying, "All right, fine, I need to see it in action. I need to actually, you know, take the next step." How do they interact with you guys at Electronique?
Sure. So we have, thanks to our social media whiz on staff, we have a massive footprint out there. So you can check out our pretty large library of partner success stories that are all focused on MSPs that have worked with the platform to do exactly what we've been speaking about. They've built robots and they've built massive new revenue streams. So that's a great place to start, is the cases section of the Electronique site. Of course, there's a massive library there of technical information and anyone can poke around, but anyone listening is certainly welcome to reach out to us via our website. There's a Become a Partner link, there's a Get a Demo link. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me on LinkedIn with any questions about the platform or the partnership program. And we host webinars continually around the globe. We have local presence now in Latin America, North America, Eastern Europe. We're opening up Western Europe, and we have India and APAC online as well. So anywhere in these local markets, there is presence from webinars through to our website itself. So we're pretty easy to get a hold of.
Lots of material to digest, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Keith Abramson from Electronique, thank you so much for hopping on the MSP Zone. I actually learned a lot, so it's a fascinating area, and I agree with you. It's a growth area, and especially your spin on it, which is I think going to be really welcome to most MSPs out there of really applying this not just internally but externally as a new revenue opportunities is a great idea. So I wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure we won't. This won't be the last time we hear from you guys.
I hope not. This was fun. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime, Keith. Thank you very much. Go check them out. They're at electronique.com. And as Keith said, online, you can go view their materials, learn more about them, ask them some questions, and make up your own mind. That's all for today. Until next time, Charles Weaver for MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.